forever.
Now, we love to chat. We love to talk.
We're chit-chatters.
We love to talk about what's going on in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to do a quick little 30-minute show called
Hot Goss,
where we cover all the hot gossip going on in the world, in the kingdom. We get a little bit political, and we take a question from you, our faithful and amazing listeners. This is Race Chaser Presents
Hot Goss.
So section one, I think we should just do a roundup of this weekend.
Girl, because jump into it. There are so many goings on and happenings.
Everything in drag happened this weekend in Los Angeles.
It was Drag High Holidays to the extreme this
fully,
year.
Yeah, fully. I mean, it was Drag Con weekend, as we all know.
Con being the operative word.
Right.
Because most of the girls weren't there.
Well,
a lot of girls weren't there.
And you think, is that the hot goss?
Honey, it's not hot goss, but
do we not do Drag Con anymore? Like, I remember back in the olden days, it was a privilege to get to do Drag Con.
Here's the thing. I think it's very unfair that, and I'll say it, World of Wonder gives out stanchions to some girls, and then they make other girls buy them from the convention center. I had to buy them. Last year, my name was spelled wrong in the book, and this year, I wasn't even in the goddamn book. And I, of course, had to buy stanchions. And I actually
You weren't
got,
in the book?
No, I wasn't in the book.
And
they knew where I was.
Did you use your own name when you booked it?
It was booked under Outer Pocket Productions, but they knew I was there. That's why they knew I needed an extra booth for line control and gave me that at least. But they did not put me in the book. Again, at least they didn't spell my name wrong. So I think they're shady and tepid for that, but I was glad to be there and super thankful for the experience. I got to meet all these awesome people who told us our podcast was cool, which it was like, it was great.
We did hear a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, it was really cool knowing that like people were listening, and I stole my stanchions from Scarlet Envy. So, I was like, well, she doesn't need these. I'm taking them. Because by Sunday, a lot of girls weren't showing up. By Saturday, some girls had cleaned out their booths and it was just their little chair and table left because they were like, you know what? Oh. It was definitely slower this year for sure on Sunday.
Well, I didn't go Sunday. There was the pageant, of course, happening, the Drag Queen of the Year pageant competition, awards contest competition. We had a lot to do, and there was just no possibility of it happening. But the show went really amazingly.
I was there. It was sickening.
Yes. Congratulations to Abora, our winner.
And you didn't see it, but I saw her cut herself. She bled for the win. She bled.
She
took out a box cutter and
Abora cut herself, or was it one of her backup people?
She cut herself. She cut her sternum. The bitch on stilts.
Oh,
that's Abora.
Yeah.
I was a judge. I noticed these things. Judge.
Right. Yes.
We made sure to administer field sobriety tests to all the judges. So they were 100% in their capacities as judges, as officials.
Yes.
As icons.
Oh, yeah. Celebrity guest judges.
It was so much fun. We had a ball.
Yeah.
And
we did.
Gosh.
It was year one, and it wasn't perfect technically by any means. However, we had so many cameras in the place, and with the magic of editing, we can make it seem like the slickest fucking Oscar awards fucking looking show ever.
You don't even need magic. You just need a good editor.
Exactly.
I think my favorite thing was noticing the embroidery on Aurora's stole for evening. I was like, it's monogrammed! She's got embroidery!
Wait, like, it was monogrammed?
Monogrammed.
The white stoles?
The white stole, the inside satin lining. It had her husband's name on it. We were gagged.
Women do not deserve other men's husbands.
Other men's wives' fur coats.
It is purple mink.
I was gagged by that.
It was fabulous. And the contestants all brought so much fierceness and creativity.
Saviana really impressed me.
The energy, yes, the energy was phenomenal, and like that's really what it's about. And I'm really
congratulations, congratulations
to everyone.
Yeah, it was really cool, and the message of inclusivity.
Yeah,
and just raising money for the LGBT center, yep, which was a surprise for me. I love any way to get a tax write-off.
Totally, fully.
I'm going to need that receipt for those raffle tickets I bought, please.
I'm going to need the receipt.
I'm going to need the receipt.
Show me the receipts.
I want to see the receipts.
Well, what other hot goss do you have from this weekend? Because you were like, there's some goss we need to discuss.
Gal, let me tell you this. My favorite thing about this weekend was connecting with someone who I thought there was going to be more tension with. I had read an interview once upon a time where someone called me, quote, fucking busted. And I was like, that's
Monique
weird.
Hart.
Yeah. So I saw her at a club. I was tipping some strippers. And then I said hi. And then outside near the sidewalk sale, we were like, we were both outside. I think I was talking to T.S. Cole from Hard Candy. Hey, Daniel. And I just asked her. I was like, hey. And we talked about it. And I found out why she obviously felt some sort of way about me a little bit.
Yeah.
She explained it. She was really nice. I called her Lupita Nyong'o at some point in 2014 while I was working with her. I kind of know the situation in American Apparel Ad Girls. What's the celebrity name that I say?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Exactly. So when there's someone who might look kind of like Lupita Nyong'o and it's during that song, I will always find that person, you know, and gesture or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt some sort of way, and she is more than welcome allowed to. I don't know her experience as a person of color, a queen of color, or what was going on that day, but I apologize for offending her, because that is my job to do, to apologize to anybody who feels offended by me racially, because I can't have that experience and my privilege dictates I need to apologize. So I apologize to her. And then the next day I saw her again, and she like thanked me for like, you know, talking to her about it instead of just like, you know. And at that point she's like, and I need to come by and see you about, these girls are talking about the tape. And the girl behind me, Astara, my makeup chick who helped me all weekend in my booth and everything, had a roll of tape with her. And I said, here, girl, enjoy it. So
the
it was like,
tape.
Yeah, girl, it was the most wonderful experience to come out of DragCon of me, of connecting with a sister and clearing the air and just starting over. Cause she's a cool girl.
She's really great. Yeah.
And like, I love watching her perform, and I loved on the reunion the one year when Rue said, well, have your wigs come off before? And she said, many times.
Just many, like, many
she's a fucking drag queen, and I really like her. So that's why I would always like harp on like her, like, you know, and I not getting along, because it was kind of like one of those things where I didn't understand. I wanted to like her, and I do now. So it's great. Hello, Monique Hart. I love you. And her makeup's sickening.
Yeah.
Up close,
too. Oh, completely.
Too. And then my second hot goss for the week was my sister, Ray Latray, queen of the baddest bitch in drag.
Yeah.
She had a booth near me, and she was walking around, and she told, girl, you and Ariel planned that, didn't you? And I was like, what? She said, Ariel has on the same hair as you. And I said, Ariel Versace? She said, yeah.
The hair gate.
The hair gate.
I mean, yeah. Because you had two-toned hair.
Mm-hmm.
One side was pink, one side was blue or something like
that. Yes, and I've had that hair for like a year or two.
And she was wearing half pink, half blue hair.
She was.
Same sides.
Very similar. But you know what? I didn't invent that hairstyle. I may be the first girl from drag prominence to wear it. But
drag prominence.
As soon as Rhea told me that, I said, who looks better? And Rhea was quiet. So I said, who looks better?
Oh,
I look better, right?
Oh, my.
And then she said, she was quiet again. So I said, you need to go take a picture. Because I was like, you're my friend.
Oh my gosh.
She took a picture. And I call it a tie.
Well, we should throw the side-by-side.
Sure, on the Race Chaser Pod.
At Race Chaser Pod.
Well, Rhea was shady. First, Rhea took the picture, and then she put it up as a side-by-side. And then I was like,
oh, yeah, it came from her story.
Yeah. And I was like, girl, how are you going to you're going to fucking buy a pot, shit in it, and then stir it?
She is.
Because she did.
Full stirring.
I thought, I was just a little like, tell me I'm pretty or I'm your best friend, Rhea.
Right.
And she didn't.
Right.
And then you said, oh, y'all planned that, huh?
Well, yeah, I said, yes. I was like, oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I think there's like a perception of a feud or
between
a celebrity
Ariel and I,
feud.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you both have a similar I don't know. I mean,
mouthy New Jersey, Philadelphia aesthetic.
That sort of vibe. And
Hooker
so
Barbie.
Sometimes people who are sort of have things in common sometimes clash.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a feud? Tell us. Tell us on Hot Goss.
I have no...
It's a safe space.
I have no open or pressing issues with Ariel Versace. Other than people that say it Versace. Because it's not Versace, it's Versace.
It's Italian.
It's Italian.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break and we'll
be back. Get more back into this Hot Goss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Ooh, so much hot goss.
Oh, the hot goss.
It's so hot. It's so scalding. Now, before we get into the political corner, I want to talk about makeup.
Sure.
That's the big thing this year is there are so many makeup lines coming out, which is fantastic. Drag queens are spearheading a lot of great makeup products.
Yeah. I'm in development right now with my line.
I know.
That'll be launching DragCon New York, and I've been wearing the products, and I tested them this weekend, and my lips were long-lasting and wearing.
I'm interested in the lashes that you have coming out that you've mentioned.
The lashes are going to be sickening.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to make lashes that are... one stop for a drag queen, one pair, and you're good to go.
Can it be done? Yes. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, it can be. I'm looking through Aquaria's NYX makeup right now.
Yes.
And the packaging is real cute. There's like this plastic thing that could be a purse, but the photo they did her on, tell me, would you have let that gone out?
Yes, I think she looks
beautiful
cool
and
pretty.
Young, and it's unfiltered and.
It's not super super airbrushed or manipulated.
It doesn't look touched at all to me.
You don't have to touch it when you look like that.
No, you don't. But I'm surprised that they didn't, because I never see that level of restraint in a makeup ad. It's like I can see hairs, I can see
skin. You can see the makeup.
You can see the fucking makeup, and I like it.
It has some really great colors. She sent me one in the mail as well. And so thank you, Aquaria, friend of the pod.
Huge
love
fan.
Her.
Amazing. I got to see her this weekend. Her booth was amazing.
Yeah. And these are liquid lipsticks as well.
Oh,
they come
cool.
in really vibrant colors. The palette is really great. And yeah, it's like a lot of vibrant colors. And I love NYX Cosmetics.
Me too. They were season 4 sponsor. And yep. I think they make some good makeup.
Yeah.
And my friend Rory is doing the creative direction for him now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Who else has makeup lines?
Trixie.
Alyssa with Anastasia Beverly Hills.
That's a collab, right?
I haven't gotten a chance to try that out. Me Trixie either. Cosmetics.
Trixie collabed with Sugar Pill first, and now she's doing her own line.
I use that Oh Honey palette every time I get in drag.
Oh Honey blush is great. And if you want to do a neutral eye, you're set with that.
Yeah.
My makeup line is coming out in, I think, August or September.
Yeah.
There will be a big launch at DragCon New York, which I'll be at. Fame had a makeup line with some lip colors that were really,
really good.
They smelled beautiful and the packaging was great.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, makeup is cool and it's the way of the future. I want to make stuff personally that I can wear and I use in drag.
Yes.
Not necessarily so much that I see stuff missing from the market. I just want more specific things for me. So I know I have them the rest of my life. So if a makeup company goes under, I'm not, fuck, what am I going to do to my face?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I want to introduce our next segment, which is called Let's Get Political, Political. I want to get political.
Let me see your poli-sci.
There is a lot going on in the world, and I think we are behooved to speak of it. Dipper brought up an article here, and it says, the headline is, Waterville Children's Bookstore gets backlash for a drag queen event. So this is the thing that has been going on, is the Queen's Reading, Queen's Storytime, drag queen storytime.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of this. Have you done it?
I was signed up to do it for 3 months. I kept my schedule clear last year, and then a couple weeks before, they said, oh, actually, some stuff was brought to light to our attention, and we can no longer invite you. And I said, oh, well, I made an apology video for that. That was a bit of a misunderstanding. I'd appreciate it if you'd watch it. Even if you don't want me anymore, please watch it so you know I'm not the type of person you're accusing me of being. And they said, okay. So they watched it, and they understood, and then they said, but we did some more Googling and found something else, so we still don't want you. So I was disinvited from reading at the WeHo Public Library to children.
So they do it here in WeHo.
They do this all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, to me, why they're receiving backlash at Waterville, and apparently some of the other places are receiving backlash as well. Because I guess the idea is that, what, drag is inappropriate for children?
I think that sometimes they might think of drag as a lifestyle that should not be forced upon these kids, or it may make them have too many questions. There's so many arguments that come that are based in fear, I think, out of the people that don't want this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it is. It's fear. It's fear of the unknown. So they lash out. No, it's about the children. Because once you invoke a child's name, like, you know how the Mormons won the Prop 8 thing in California? They had one very simple, effective commercial that a little girl came home from school, handed her mom a picture of her and another, like, two princesses, saying, they told me at school I can get married to a princess too. And the mom was just, like, taken aback in the commercial, because to invoke a child, that's what gets people, like, fearing, oh, well, what about my kid? I don't want them being taught about drag queens and lesbians. And, like people get fearful. And I think that the exposure of having drag queens out there will, you know, will create conversation, and conversation leads to change and all that. I think it's important. So these Waterville fucks can fucking...
Well, when I first started drag, if you would have asked me if, you know, I would be doing shows for children or be at events with kids, I mean, I would have laughed and I would have thought that's crazy. My name is Alaska Thunderfuck. Like, I have a bad word in my name. So
literally.
But now children are a huge part of, you know, our audience and engagement. And, like, being at DragCon, for instance, is a family affair. It's all ages. Kids come with their parents. The parents bring the kids. The kids bring the parents. Like, it's a family affair. It's
suck
great.
The dads.
Right.
Yeah.
I
was fully hitting on a dad at DragCon this weekend, because I was like, what are you doing over there just watching me? I was like, cost $35 to watch. He's like, my daughters are in line. I was like, can they hold the camera?
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, personally, I think drag is great for kids. If I would have had the chance to see drag queens when I was a kid, I can only imagine how much gayer I would be, you know, and that's great.
I don't know if that's possible.
Right. How is it possible? Like, what would have happened?
Yeah. Shit, I don't know.
Nina West has a
Drag is Magic.
Drag
her
is
video.
Magic, and she sort of is doing like a drag album for kids, right? And like a storybook, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty major. I have something to say about DragCon.
Sure.
I love DragCon, and I love that it's an all ages family friendly event, which is why I think that we should save our assless jockstrap thong pants. Looks for save it for like Pride or like Folsom or like more like adult events.
What if they have pads and tights on and you can't actually see their skin? Like
I'm mainly talking about like male presenting guests at DragCon who are running around in like really suggestive things, and I'm like, okay, no, that's cool and stunning, but like this is a family friendly event, and like. So I don't know.
I think that
keep that in mind.
Anesthetizing drag and making it suitable for children is not the way to go. I had a show.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying at DragCon, when it's a family friendly event.
Maybe it shouldn't be a family friendly event. I just don't.
Okay.
I think that drag is great, but not all drag is perfect for everyone. And I think if they want to make it an all ages event where they mandate what we wear and what we can say and what we can do, I sold shirts with an asshole on them that said "Make America Gape Again," but I was smart enough to put a sticker over it, you know, over the ass, and then. But a lot of conventions.
Do you have one in a children's small? I want to put it on my infant.
You have a onesie. I really think that if DragCon is going to start demanding more and more of us, including what we wear and like that kind of thing, they should, you know, start paying the girls for like being on the panels or being away from their booths. Or you know what? Give us our fucking booths for free, or give all the girls stanchions that deserve stanchions. Like, if I don't have stanchions, you're in for a wreck of a time with my line. So like, I just don't understand why they're unwilling to make their event the best it can be. With simple things like fairness to all the girls. Like, I know you don't like me, but I've been there since the beginning providing revenue. I got the first fucking corporate sponsor for their DragCon, OCC, the first year. They were the first booth sold. Four booths.
Yeah.
And I understand I'm problematic and stuff, but like, I was a fucking saint at DragCon. I sat in that chair every opening hour and just took pictures for free. And they wouldn't even give me a stanchion. Like, right. What did I do wrong? I was so nice to everybody. Sorry about the Emmys, guys, but get over it.
Stanchion Sanchez, I think she does the
Sanchez, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huge.
Let's go ahead and take a break. This has been Let's Get
Political.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. We're still workshop.
Let's get political, political. I want to see your policy. Welcome back to Hot Goss. So for our final segment, we want to take some of these questions. We get an email boatload of questions.
Reach deep into that mailbag.
We're reaching so deep into the deep mailbag.
Deep, shoulders deep.
Ooh. So this question, okay, let me read this. Okay, I had a couple of questions. Okay.
Do you want me to read it for you?
Well, no, I can read it. Okay. Firstly, are we likely to see either of you on our TV screens anytime again soon? In any upcoming TV or movie projects that you're able to talk about? If not, what would be your dream role?
Well, I can start with that. We're both in Wig, a Wigstock documentary produced by Chris Morkabel and Neil Patrick Harris and Bruce Cohen and David Burtka and a bunch of cool people at HBO on June 18th. And that's called Wig.
On HBO, right? Yes. And we are going to be on TV.
That's huge. Lady Bunny and all her contributions to drag are celebrated, and it's an awesome fucking documentary.
Yes.
Kevin Aviance. The party alone.
And Charlene Incarnate.
So many cool people. And then June 27th and June 28th, World Pride Weekend. I'm going to be in New York the whole time, but I will also be on your television screens on HGTV, and they'll be airing House Hunters that weekend.
2 days?
Yeah, 2 dates.
A recurring series arc?
girl, you know.
A character arc?
You know they love a recurring.
We do. We do. Yeah. Cherry Peck is back in action.
Back again.
And aren't you making history as the first?
I am, but I didn't want to brag. I'm the first drag queen on HGTV.
Oh, she's the HGTV queen.
Mm-hmm. HGTV, everybody, queen of something.
Home and garden.
Home, welcome to my garden, darling.
She's a home and garden queen.
She's one of those HG
girls. I've always thought of you as one of those girls.
I always knew that about you.
I always knew that about
you. And then I'm on Eastsiders on Netflix, which is final season premiering this summer.
That's great.
Uh-huh. What have you got coming up, Gail?
I don't know. I was just on The Bachelorette, which was a very surreal experience.
For that Speedo segment. I saw that.
It was like an 18-hour shoot day, and I was on the screen for about 30 seconds. But you know what? It's the hugest show on television. Mm-hmm. And
other than NCIS.
Right.
Basically.
It was a cool experience.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing you more. Our second question. Hey, ladies, love the pod, but why was this
cast...
love your podcast, girls. But why was this cast too sorry for a fucking puppet moment? Did the producers have no hope in these tired-ass queens that they didn't even bother? Conflamed, Soph.
Soph. I says to Soph. Isn't that Bette Midler character, Soph?
Sophie's her daughter. In real life.
Okay.
I think that... Do they have puppets every season?
No, they were doing it for a while, but they stopped. And I think the
sock
fan
shortage.
Base is demanding it. And I hope they bring it back. Because the puppet challenge is really funny. It gives you a chance to take the piss out of the girls that you've been getting to know over the weeks and weeks.
Well, I feel like the puppet challenge is just a reading challenge with a puppet.
It is, essentially. Yeah.
And they kind of did a second reading challenge already this year after the library one, didn't they? I feel like I remembered.
With the slaps.
That,
oh, right.
That was kind of the same thing. And I'd rather...
The reunion, too.
And the reunion. I feel like doing the same thing over and over is... It's great, but also the willingness to try new stuff with an established format, and Drag Race has been doing that.
Oh, yeah. They're
like,
great at that.
Like, now Ru doesn't give critiques at all.
Right.
That's kind of new.
But the fans definitely want puppets back, and I would love to see the puppets back.
You've been a puppet.
Yeah. So, okay, our next question comes from Justin Crosby. So I was showing my partner season 5 because it's my favorite season. Alaska is my all-time favorite. And I came across the episode where you all had to lip sync to a scene from Untucked. I was kind of thrown off when my partner pointed out that Alaska was pretty much doing brown face to impersonate Fifi, and I never really took note of that before. I immediately became defensive because I worship you, Alaska, but realized that was my own whiteness reacting to being called out. So in response to all this, I want to know what you think of this moment. Looking back, since I've never really seen or heard you talk about it, I want to know if you would do anything differently, if you consider it brown face now looking back on the scene, etc. Thanks for reading, Justin. So Justin, I haven't seen this for some time. So it's a good question, and I'm glad you brought it up. The reason, I mean, I can tell you my intention. I'm sure looking back on it, I would be mortified to watch this right now because the world is a different place. I'm a different person. We've learned a lot. The reason where I was coming from with that was it was kind of an ongoing joke that Fifi was really tan. Like
orange.
She tanned herself so much that she was like orange. And so I wanted to emulate being really tan.
Yeah, that's
and
Fifi's
so
makeup.
I was emulating her makeup. I wasn't like actively trying to do that because she's of a different ethnicity. It was like a drag thing rather than like an ethnicity thing.
And may I point out that Fifi isn't in brownface because she's not Latina, nor i.e. brown. She's actually Asian. So that would be yellowface. But that's definitely not yellow either. You were just emulating the tan factor that Fifi does. You weren't emulating an ethnicity at all.
I was emulating her style of makeup, which was like really dark foundation and really heavy contouring. So that's where I was coming from. Can I look at it? Jesus Christ, it's horrible. I mean,
no, it's not.
I really look terrible. But
you look terrible, but it's not offensive.
But I mean, that's coming from us. So like,
white people.
If it if it was offensive, I'm really sorry about that. I think it kind of is offensive. Would I do it now? Absolutely fucking no, ever at all. So, I mean, I apologize, but I'm glad that you asked so that I can let you know what was going through my mind at the time. So thank you for that question, Justin.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a moving one of it.
Right. Like, even the titty contour, like, I just drew two black lines because I was reading her makeup. It was like that pageant lip where you use white as the highlight.
Uh-huh, the Kennedy Davenport baboon-ass lip. So that's what Kennedy called it. Kennedy called it that. I did not. Kennedy called it that herself.
So thank you for the question. I hope that kind of clears it up. I hope that you and your boyfriend didn't break up over this fight that you had. That would be really sad.
I unfortunately did blackface once upon a time, and I'm constantly apologizing for it. A director equated it to white chicks in like 08 in Croatia, and I thought me impersonating Monique in a good way, not like some like minstrel show, like the white outline over exaggerated features, like I thought the makeup was done beautifully, and I was like, I thought it was okay, but that was a decade ago and worse. Are you pulling up the picture of me? Asshole. But, like, it's one of those things where I would never do it again.
No.
But in my head, the way it was a vampire movie, so I was like, this is fantasy, and I'm playing Monique. But in my head, it was rationalized because of white chicks. So I was like, I'm doing the opposite. But I didn't realize all the fucking shit that we know now about white privilege and why it's wrong. And yeah. Even if it is a character, it's not worth the joke at all. And
no.
It's one of the things, it's one of the few things I regret. And you know, most of the shit I've done in my career, I don't regret much.
Yeah.
That I regret.
Yeah. Well, do we have any more questions, Dip, Arena? Or that's the time. Well, this,
I almost burned myself on the hot goss.
You know, it's scalding.
Yeah.
It's really hot.
We
hot
should
goss.
Really like put a flame guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Too hot.
It's too darn hot. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you for joining us on a very special sample episode of a possible upcoming mini Race Chaser Presents program entitled.
We're gonna wait for the network upfronts.
Right. Yeah. It's called Hot Goss. Let us know at Race Chaser Pod. Slide into our DMs. Send us an email at, what's the email?
It's racechaserpod@gmail.com.
Racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know
Use
your questions.
Drag.
Right. Well, yeah. Let us know any questions that you have for us about anything at all going on in the kingdom. And let us know what you would like to hear about on Hot Goss.
You want to talk about Hot Goss? Let's talk about Hot Goss.
Have an amazing day. And this has been
Hot Goss.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.